Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Don't know why. For a moment there, I had a little panic, an anxiety attack, because I thought, uh-oh, am I getting that logo wrong? So I don't know how many of you out there can identify every single sports logo in the country. I would say I probably can identify most of them, but not all of them. And in this case, I gave you my answer. I was sure I knew which team it was. And then I started to second guess. So when you second guess yourself, you sound wobbly and weak. And I should never have second guessed myself. But in light of the recent mistakes, courtesy of our corrections department, in light of the recent mistakes, I guess I was worried that I might go 3 strikes and you're out, Pete. And so I started to look. I looked harder, and then I wobbled a bit there. But Weebles wobble, and they don't fall down. So we're good.
In your defense, though.
In my defense.
The logo, that the way they have the logo on that page is kind of like it's not the exact colors.
So, true. That's
so
true.
It can kind of throw you off a little bit.
All right. So thank you, Pete, for coming to my defense.
You got it.
There's good news and there's bad news always. And I started the show by asking, what kind of a person are you? Good news first or bad news first? And it's been fascinating to hear some of your responses. So you can find me online at Amy After Hours. And we've got a poll up. Do you prefer good news first or bad news first? Now, it's our show question. With a terrific GIF, you got to find it on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And that's a different thing because people are explaining why they are good news or bad news first. We've determined, at least here on the show, it was 3-1. The three guys all said bad news first. I said good news first because it sets me up then where I feel like it softens the blow and the bad news is not nearly as bad. Now, sometimes you just can't sugarcoat, and I do appreciate, having worked with 98% men the majority of my career, that many of them, not all of them, some of them will BS you, but a lot of the guys that I've worked for, bosses, especially the two guys that hired me here and also hired Pete, so we're original employees of the network back to when it had a different name, going on the air January 1st, 2013. How many of us are left? Wait, don't answer that question. So our bosses that we had that originally launched the network, they're no nonsense, especially Eric. He does not pull punches. And a lot of times it can be that gruff bedside manner, if you will, and you can maybe be offended if you don't know who he is. But I now appreciate it. 12 years down the road, he's still a great advocate and ally. And when I need to know the truth, I ask Eric. And he always tells me the truth. And I can trust him that he's always going to give it to me straight.
He's very superior, very good in that regard.
Yeah,
he will tell you the truth right to your, about how you're doing and whatnot right to your face.
Yeah. So the bad news thing, I believe I would just rather wait. Give me some good news first. Help me digest, be encouraged, and then I'm ready. Give me a little bit of Lamaze breathing. Now. Hit me with the bad news. But I feel like most guys that I've heard from so far are saying bad news first. The poll is up. You can help us determine. You don't have to share your gender. It's an optional to share your gender.
No, I would tend to believe that more guys would think that. We're to the point, you know, we want to know. Hey,
don't say you're pessimist by nature. That can't be true.
Not pessimist, but like, hey, what's in store for us?
What's the worst? Let's get the worst out of the way. You set the bar low, and then it's only uphill from there. Yep. Okay, I can kind of understand that, too. So take our poll again at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, or on our Facebook page. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I just mentioned this earlier. They should be handing out stickers. Pete and I agree with this. Forget I voted. How about I survived the DMV? Because I did. And then, you know, it's funny. I put that on my Twix, marked safe from the DMV. And then I wondered, shoot, do the people in D.C., Maryland, Virginia think that I am saying I was marked safe from that DMV as opposed to the Department of or Division of Motor Vehicles? Seriously, I worried about it, so I deleted it. I very rarely delete posts unless they have an error in them, but I noticed people weren't reacting to it positively, and I thought, shoot, did I just offend the DMV? I mean, the other DMV. Yeah. The all caps. Well, they're both all caps DMVs. They're acronyms. But yeah, a lot of people refer to D.C., Maryland, Virginia as the DMV.
That's the first time I've ever heard that. That's the first time I've
really?
Ever heard that.
Oh, I get it a lot from people who listen to the show there, because we have not only our D.C. affiliate, which is called The Fan. Is it 106.5? 106.5?
That's 7, I think.
Oh, yes, 106.7. Thank you. I actually have done shows from there. So 106.7, The Fan. I've also done shows from Baltimore, which is 105.3, The Fan. And then in Maryland... Oh, Baltimore, sorry. Virginia. Have I done any in Virginia? I might have once done a show from my brother's basement, which is in Virginia, out near Dulles Airport. So yeah, we've got some good stations there. A lot of people who listen, especially our Baltimore affiliate that carries all 4 hours. And so I know I get the DMV a lot. So not that DMV. I survived the other DMV. And I made it in. I had everything I needed. Except for the original copy. Well, it's not a copy. The original birth certificate. Can't have a copy for the real ID. Got to have the original. So none of my other... I had 17 forms of ID. I had 37 pieces of address confirmation. Nope. Got to have the birth certificate for the real ID. But I did get my brand new license with my new last name. Changed my registration. Also changed my voter registration. So at least I got those... bowling pins knocked out, but I bowled a 7-10 split because now I got to go back for the real ID.
Perfect that curveball.
Yes. So if you missed it, this is kind of funny. I called my mom right as I was walking out of the door, and she said, "What did you forget?" Not even hello. How are you? Hi, daughter. Nope. What did you forget? And then she says, "Oh, well, I think I have your birth certificate." Great. That's helpful in Texas.
You should have said I didn't forget anything.
Right. You're the one who has it. So anyway, she did find it and then sent me a cute little text. "I found your birth certificate and a lock of your hair." I don't think they take that at the DMV.
You should try and record it.
Actually, though, that's kind of sweet, especially since I was a tote head when I was little. I had the whitest blonde hair that... explains nothing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence at A-Law Radio and then our Facebook page. Good morning to you. Happy Thursday coming up this hour. Well, we got to get you ready for Eagles Commanders. It's one of the games this weekend. There are three of them, the triumvirate, featuring teams with at least 7 wins against each other. Now, the big doozy on CBS on Sunday afternoon is Chiefs and Bills. Will this be the Chiefs' first loss? I could see it happening. I could see it every week because the Chiefs are still, they're playing with fire and they do not blow teams out. And right now the Bills are on a terrific tear. Josh Allen is a beast. I know Keon Coleman, they could use him back, but James Cook has been great. The offensive line has been blocking well. The defense is, I think, farther along than what many people expected. Now, they had a couple of turnovers last week. Josh Allen with a couple of interceptions. You don't want to do that against the Chiefs because they will make you pay. But the opposite is also the case, right? If you turn the ball over Kansas City, you'll pay there in Orchard Park. So that's Sunday afternoon. We've got Ravens Steelers weekend, which is awesome. And Mike Tomlin, he knows all about it. I truly believe he and John Harbaugh are the best assets when it comes to this rivalry.
We acknowledge, man, Baltimore is a really good team. Historically, we've had some awesome matchups, man. There's always AFC North ramifications, and I just respect this rivalry. I think one of the awesome components of this rivalry is the continuity in the organizations, man. I've been on my job a long time. Harbs has been on his job a long time. And I think that adds a texture and history to it.
Harbs. It's like a harbinger of things to come. Now, see, if he had dropped that word, I'd be even more impressed. But we got acknowledge. We got ramifications. This is why I have to hear what Mike Tomlin has to say every week. Meanwhile, as Mike Tomlin is talking, I look up and producer Pete is counting on his fingers. What are you doing?
I am putting up the game of the week poll, and I'm okay. Just trying to time it correctly.
Gotcha. So counting hours on your fingers.
Yes.
Okay. Perfecto. That makes sense. Try talking and counting at the same time. It rarely goes well when I do it here on the show. So, yes, it's Ravens-Steelers week. They both have 7 wins, so that is a battle for first place right now held by the Steelers with just a half-game lead over Baltimore. And then you've got Thursday Night Football, which is why we're posting this poll, the after-hours game of the week, early. Because it's Commanders and it's Eagles and it's going to be all that. And we did hear from Jalen Hurts last hour as part of QB News. Of course, he's got high praise for Jaden Daniels. And even though they didn't cross paths in school, did they, Jalen? Nah, I don't think they would have crossed paths in school. But Jaden is a Heisman winner, of course. And Jalen, certainly part of the Heisman and everything that comes with being in that fraternity, if you will. And so they take care of each other. They follow each other. And it's going to be a good game. I love the Dan Quinn wrinkle, honestly. The fact that he's so familiar with the Eagles because of his time with Dallas having to game plan for them. Now, Derrick Henry's new. And yeah, I love it. I love the Derrick Henry addition to Baltimore. To me, this is... It's hard to say because there have been some great free agent acquisitions or trade acquisitions. But to me, that's the one that's the most impactful at this point. So, yeah, I think if we get a little more from the offense with the Commanders. So the Steelers' defense is terrific. They were really able to limit the Commanders, especially in the fourth quarter of last week's game when the Steelers came back. Remember, they had that Najee Harris touchdown, but then they were able to get the Mike Williams TD with about 2.5 minutes to go, and the defense shut down Jaden. And so I kind of feel like this is on the offense for the Commanders to find another rhythm here. Now, they started out pretty well. I'm trying to think, there were a couple of, you know what, you dummy, why don't you get your notes? There were a couple of special teams turnovers early. You had a muffed punt. You had a fake punt that did not succeed. And so I think with these two teams, I'd like to see them come hot out of the gates. But what was the issue for the Commanders, though, last week is that they didn't finish strong. Yeah, so Pitt was coming off its bye and had the 14-7 lead. George Pickens, that was the twisting, diving catch last week. And then the fake punt that didn't work. The muffed punt, each of those leading to short fields for the other team. But in the middle there, Washington had the 3 straight scoring drives. We had Austin Eckler with a couple of touchdowns. Remember, Jeremy McNichols got into the end zone. But Pittsburgh owned the fourth quarter, and that's where we really didn't see much from the Commanders' offense. And obviously, the way they jumped off sides, the defense did on that 4th-and-1, that kind of ended any hope for them. So yeah, this is going to be one where I want to see them finish strong. The Commanders' offense finish strong. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. That poll, yes, no, maybe
it's
so.
Up. It's up.
Hours. Okay.
Hours have been counted.
How many did you come up with?
No, it was really timing the minutes part of it because you could get it up to the minute on Twix.
Wow.
So I have it up to the minute.
You were counting minutes on your fingers.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yes.
Very impressive. Going back, it's kind of fun to just think about the recent Heisman Trophy winners. Jalen was the runner-up in 19 to Joe Burrow, and at that point he was at Oklahoma, remember? So Kyler Murray had won the year before at Oklahoma. Jalen was number 2 in 19 after he transferred to Oklahoma. But really, Alabama's had a good run of them too, obviously. Devontae Smith in 20, he beat Trevor Lawrence. Bryce Young at Alabama then in 21, who beat out Aiden Hutchinson and Kenny Pickett. That would have been terrific. Caleb Williams winning in 22. C.J. Stroud was part of the finalist group there. And then in 23, it was Jaden beating out Michael Penix and Bo Nix. Yeah, these are, it's just kind of, think about where they were then and what they're doing in the pro ranks now. So that's going to be a good game tonight. I hope it lives up to the hype. But we've got some doozies on the schedule in week 11. Getting your tweets about bad news or good news first. Tony on Twix. Bad news first all day and night. You leave me with. That's how his tweet ends. Leave me with. Leave me with. Right. I'm assuming. Well, you know what happens when you assume. That's supposed to be the good news. But maybe he had trigger quick, like happy, quick, happy. What's that called? Happy trigger finger. And he accidentally posted and doesn't realize it. Leave me with. Maybe we're supposed to infer, leave me with nothing, leave me with the blank, leave me with an empty heart and a decimated soul.
What do you think?
Our friend Max says, morning, Amy and P, bad news first, get it out of the way so it clears the path for some good news. Yeah, I get that. But I also feel like it can soften the blow. Emily, bad news first, good news is dessert. Well, is bad news then the meal that gives you food poisoning?
Yes.
Maybe it depends upon how bad the bad news. How bad the bad news.
It could be. Like, well, look. There's some instances where you need to say the good news because the bad, it doesn't make sense to hear the bad news
right.
First.
Also, I got to break some bad news to Tim on our show Twix or My Twix. I love your show. I listen every night. Only parts of it, clearly. I have to tell you, it's sinful how you people... You people, I guess that means the media, or maybe it just means you and I, are ignoring the Cleveland Cavaliers winning streak. If it was the Knicks or Celtics, you'd be all over it every night. I'm sorry, how many times have we talked about the Cavaliers win streak tonight?
I believe it was multiple times.
And yeah. Second segment of the show,
yes.
Tim, if you would like to go back and check out, I'll tell him, go back and check out the podcast.
Right.
I'm pretty sure we played four highlights, as well as Donovan Mitchell talked about his prowess, also talked about Kenny Atkinson and his impact, at least one other time that we've talked about it on the show. So, yes, so sinful. The bad news, Tim, is that you sound like a fool. The good news is that we've got a podcast where you can go back and check it out yourself. How about that? I mean, that is that the right way to do it? Bad news first, then the good news.
Right.
And we're all set.
Right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Hey, good. Yeah, right. How about listen more, tweet less? Maybe I'll use that as a hashtag. Oh, and here's some more good news, Tim. We're actually just about to run full court. Cavaliers being part of the night in the NBA. People get, well, see, the thing is with Cleveland fans, it's worse for them because of what they've been through. Yeah.
There's a big chip on their shoulder.
He does. Also, he's a sports fan and writer.
He's a scribe.
Maybe do some research before you fire off a tweet. But, you know, on Twix, truth is really irrelevant. On social media, truth is optional, I think.
Right, yeah.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. Oh, yeah. Those Cavaliers that we sinfully ignore, they're... I can't even do it with a straight face now. Tim, this is for you here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Under three to go. Mobley right side to LeVert. LeVert bounce in the left corner. Mitchell, three ball. Bullseye!
I like it, Tim. How do you like that ball movement and that defense that denied Martin?
Huge shot from Donovan Mitchell. All-star shot from the Cavalier guard to make it 106-100 with 2:35 to go. Mitchell, sideline left against Caleb Martin. Mitchell pulls up three ball. Bang! Donovan Mitchell. It's Donovan time. Two straight three balls. 109-102. Mitchell on that second bomb gives the Cavs a 7-point lead. Mitchell on the right side. Steps left. Three. Hit another one. Donovan Mitchell with three threes here in the fourth. He's got five in the game. 112-104. Cavaliers by eight. Oh, what a close by Donovan Mitchell.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, this is for you, Tim. Love the show. Listen every night. This is just for you. A special Cavaliers tribute. And as I was saying earlier on the show, Donovan Mitchell with his own imitation of what Steph Curry did on Tuesday night as the Mavericks were trying to beat the Warriors at Golden State with Klay Thompson making his return to the Bay. We watched Steph Curry, closer, killer instinct, get that out of here, and scores the final 12 points of the game for the Warriors. Well, Donovan Mitchell did about the same. 11 of his 23 points coming in the fourth quarter as the Cavaliers stay unbeaten and rally past the Sixers. I wouldn't say it would have been a bad loss, only that you probably don't want to lose to the Sixers when they are sitting Joel Embiid and Paul George, please make me roll my eyes, and they don't have Tyrese Maxey either. And so they're playing without their superstars, with a shorter roster. And so this is one that you want to make sure that you can bag. And he does exactly that. 23 points, again, 11 in a row to wrap the game for the Cavs. 13 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals. And weirdly enough, the triple-double became a bit of a storyline on Wednesday night. Donovan actually apologized because he knew how close he was to a triple-double and it maybe changed his strategy.
Cavs fans, I'm sorry. I should have put the game away early. That was a selfish moment. I ain't going to lie. That's on me. I haven't had one in my career. Almost lost just the game doing that. That's a selfish moment. Won't happen again. I apologize. I apologize to my teammates. Sorry, y'all. My bad.
On FanDuel Sports at Ohio, Pete, seriously, this serious question. What was the last time you heard an athlete claim that? That's generally the no-no, right? Now, we did hear an athlete not long ago talk about making a business decision to sit out. That was the Browns, right? Making a business decision to sit out, deciding that he wasn't healthy enough to play. It was smarter for him to take another day and now regretting it because he feels like he lost his job. In the case of Donovan Mitchell or just a basketball player in general, admitting that he's chasing stats. I can't recall that I've heard that recently.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have not.
Now, maybe he was being tongue-in-cheek, but he did say a little bit of that. Yeah, he was chasing, maybe somewhat snarky, but he did fall one assist shy of a triple-double.
Anthony Richardson with stepping out, not feeling tired, and he took a play
needing
off.
A blow.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are kinds of things that we're just not used to hearing from athletes. Donovan gets heckled. I think the fans are just really excited there in Philadelphia about the fact that their team lost and isn't playing superstars. Nah. Mitchell, one of the NBA's best and brightest about the win streak.
It's always fun when you're winning, but at the end of the day, it's the habits. You know, I think that...
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what's making us, you know, really proud is the fact that we're winning these games, like doing it the right way. You know, habits, they are distracting me, bro. I swear. I'm sorry.
I don't even know what's going on behind me.
You know, what's happening behind me, but, you know, it's the habits. It's playing the right way. Everybody's getting touches, and that's what makes it special.
I was really happy with us. We kept sharing the ball. Like, even though it wasn't going in, we kept making the right play, making the right pass. And then the beginning of that third quarter, I thought we came out and got some stops. I thought Isaac was huge. We picked up our pressure. We were just too passive in the first half.
Kenny Atkinson, who is fresh off of the Golden State bench where he was an assistant there for 3-4 years, but part of their 22 NBA title run. It's an interesting debate. Maybe we'll have it at some point on the show. In which sport is the coach least relevant? And I don't mean they're not relevant, only that in which sport could the athletes survive on their own the best without the coach? In which sport does the coach have the least impact when the game is actually going on? So not what they do all the other times, scout and prep and media and all that jazz. But during the game, in which sport does the coach have the least impact? And I know that people will say the NBA, because a lot of times you're a game manager, right? The game moves so quickly, the superstars can get out there. Plus, how often do we see now it's hero ball or it's freewheeling, it's not actually plays? I would say that the best basketball teams have coaches that make a huge impact. Now, maybe it's the case elsewhere that coaches aren't as involved, but you see what Steve Kerr does with the Warriors. I mean, he is involved in every little thing. And also Greg Popovich, a lot of success there. Certainly Eric Spoelstra in Miami, who's the longest, well, along with Popovich, the longest tenured coaches. Kenny Atkinson, he's the glue right now. That ship needed a rudder in Cleveland, and they've got it in the form of Kenny Atkinson, which is amazing. I'm so happy for them because they've got these talented pieces, and they just didn't have the right formula. I wouldn't say it was as drastic as trying to fit a square peg into a round hole last year, but just that the formula, you didn't have the corporate synergy, meaning the sum is greater than the individual parts. Well, Kenny Atkinson knows how to bring them all together so that it's not just a bunch of dudes out there playing basketball. It looks much more fluid. And yeah, they're defending. They're cutting down on turnovers. That's been something that's huge for the Cavaliers. And they are the sixth team in NBA history to start a season 13-0. Nerd alert! Not the first time in Cavaliers history they've won 13 straight. Not to start a season, but they have three different 13-game winning streaks in their history, all of them when LeBron James was a member of the Cavs. So this is a brave new world. Nerd alert! See what I'm saying? All right, a couple of other big-time storylines and highlights from the world of the NBA. Now, see, I think this might be producer Pete trying to be cute. We have a cut sheet. Essentially, it's audio. It's the top highlights. It's some of the major names in sports. And if I want to use it to either react off of or kind of shape an argument or give you the news, I generally err on the side of it's better for you to hear the coach or the athlete say it than it is for me, and then I can react. He put Victor Wembanyama highlights at number 50 on the cut sheet.
I would love to tell you it's you wake up a certain way or you feel really smooth during warm-ups, but it's, you know, at the end of the day, NBA games, we got one game every other day, so every time we struggle to warm up, we have pain, you know, we sweat, we bleed on the court, so it's really a minute-to-minute thing. It's a constant 48 minutes effort.
Ball gets a screen from Branham. To the left wing, Branham. Pounding out a right-hand dribble. Looking for Wemby. He's got it high post against Corey Kispert. Pivots, faces up. Long two. Shot is good for Victor Wembanyama. 50 points for Victor Wembanyama. A career high as the Spurs lead it 115-98.
Yes. See what I'm saying? That may have been a little bit of subliminal messaging from producer Pete.
That's what I did. That's exactly what I did.
Victor Wembanyama did not wake up on Wednesday believing that it was going to be a special night for him. A career high 8 triples. Obviously his first NBA game with 50 points. And hear him talk about it on FanDuel Sports Network. Although I hope he's not bleeding that much on the court. I love his strength. I think the Olympic experience was great for him too. With just extra basketball against some of the best in the world, really believe that he's made major strides. And if you watch him, I mean, he's must-see TV these days, or worth the price of admission. If you watch him, he's got Steph Curry range. The dude can shoot from 7-8 feet beyond the arc. He can take guys off the dribble with his 7-foot-4-inch size. There isn't anyone really who can put a hand in his face outside of, say, Joel, who's too tired and is taking games off already, and Giannis, maybe. But there aren't a lot of guys who can body up on him. I mean, Kevin Durant is almost as tall as him, and he's a good defender. But Wemby, he knows how to use his length and his reach, which is impressive, at 20 years and 314 days old. He is the tallest ever to see, another nerd alert. He's the tallest ever to have 50 points. Alert! N-E-R-D-A-L-E-R-T. Sorry, it's nether reaches of the brain. FanDuel Sports Network for Victor's postgame, and then Bill Schoening on Spurs Radio. Now, if we're going to talk about him, of course, we've got to talk about Giannis, because Giannis has the most points in the league this season with 59 points for him on Wednesday night. So it's like anything you can do, I can do better. Oh, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals, and a partridge in a pear tree as we get closer to this Christmas season. Also on FanDuel Sportsnet, but this time Wisconsin.
At the end of the day, nobody says it's going to be easy, right? I remember the year we won the championship. We didn't start the season very, very well, but at the end of the day, we never gave up. It doesn't matter who plays. It doesn't matter if the young guys going to play. We never give up, you know. And As a leader, I keep reminding guys, don't take moments for granted. Never take moments for granted. When guys don't play and they're not available and your number is called, go out there, give everything you have for the team, play the right way, and good things gonna happen. No matter who plays, we don't give up. You know, we always come here and try to find ways to win the game.
He just kept us in the game single-handedly with his play. You know, we were trying to run stuff, obviously. They knew what we had, you know, and they were up pressuring the ball and taking us out of our stuff. And so, you know, it's funny with Giannis. Not only did Giannis have to score, he actually had to be our point guard as well and bring the ball up. You know, whenever we took DeLon off the floor, you know, or anybody, Giannis was the guy bringing the ball up the floor. There's nobody that can pressure him. And that played to our favor, but that also can wear you down.
So Giannis with 59, Victor Wembanyama with 50. The Cavs still haven't lost. A couple of other storylines that I think are fun, just the triple-double theme that I was mentioning earlier. Jason Tatum was on the cusp of a triple-double for the Celtics, so they had to rally from an early hole against Brooklyn, maybe feeling that Atlanta loss or just the kind of sliding into this groove still early in the season. And according to Sean Grandy, who's the play-by-play voice of the Celtics and a frequent guest here on the show, Joe Mazzulla asked Jason Tatum if he wanted to stay on the court to get the triple-double, and Jason's response was, nah. I like that. That's an attitude right there. Although Donovan, he didn't get it either, but he had apologized because he was chasing it there for a bit. Triple-doubles, well, right now, LeBron's got the corner on the market for 40-year-old dudes with triple-doubles. He's the only guy over 40. I mean, that's a limited sample size, right? Only guy over 40 who's ever had three straight triple-doubles. See what I'm saying? I'm giving you the lowdown, a little something-something to launch you forward into your Thursday. Bad news first or good news first? That's the question on the table. Pete, when I ask you this question, and I'll ask it again before we finish the show, you just better be considering your answer carefully because I just saw this story out of Arizona that will make your skin crawl. So just be careful how you answer the question. Good news or bad news first? Oh, no.
Bad news.
I would move. Like, I'd move to the Arctic if this happened to me, I'm telling you.
It involves animals, yes.
Oh, no. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, and well, the Colts have once again turned back to Anthony Richardson, saying this time it's for the rest of the season as Joe Flacco heads back to the bench. Shane Steichen said he wanted Richardson to understand all the little things that go into being a starting quarterback in the NFL, with Richardson feeling better prepared for that.
You know, just so that I'm willing to be a pro, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice anything that I need to do for the team. You know, I feel like these past 2 weeks has definitely opened my eyes and allowed me to have the opportunity to do that and just take a deeper dive and look into myself and see what I'm, you know, made of. So I'm thankful for these past 2 weeks, and I'm low-key glad they hope to have it.
Checking the NBA, we had a career first for Victor Wembanyama.
To the left wing, Branham. Pounding out a right-hand dribble, looking for Wemby. He's got it high post against Corey Kispert. Pivots, faces up, long two. Shot is good for Victor Wembanyama. 50 points for Victor Wembanyama, a career high, as the Spurs lead it 115-98.
50 points for Wembanyama as the Spurs outscore the Wizards 139-130. Call courtesy of the Spurs Radio Network. Rest of your scores, Cavs remain on fire. 13 straight to begin the season. Top the Sixers 114-106. Donovan Mitchell 23 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists. LeBron James continues to defy Father Time. 35 points as part of a triple-double. Lifted the Lakers by the Grizzlies 128-123. Bucks outlast the Pistons 127-120 in overtime. Giannis Antetokounmpo 59 points, 14 rebounds, and 7 assists. Bulls withstood the Knicks 124-123. Celtics dismissed the Nets 139-114 as Jason Tatum at 36, one rebound shy of a triple-double. Blazers got past the T-Wolves 106-98. Kings punished the Suns 127-104. Rockets handled the Clippers 111-103. Thunder rolled the Pelicans 106-88. And the Magic took out the Pacers 94-90. College Hoops, UConn just dominated Lemoyne 90-49. Auburn ripped Kent State 79-56. Houston punished Louisiana 91-45. Tennessee thumped Montana 92-57. Creighton pounded Houston Christian 78-43. Arkansas smothered Troy 65-49. And St. John's overpowered Wagner 66-45. In college football, Ohio routed Eastern Michigan 35-10. Northern Illinois raced Akron 29-16. And Miami of Ohio dominated Kent State 34-7. I'm Marco Belletti.
The Infinity Sports Network is on your smart speaker. All you have to say is, play Infinity Sports Network. That's it. Play Infinity Sports Network.
When I was an elementary school kid, we used to go to the roller skating rink. Roller skating, not rollerblading or ice skating. I look like a baby giraffe on ice skates. But we used to go to roller skating rink on Friday nights. Our school kids, we'd have birthday parties there and stuff. This was one of the songs that they would play. And it was usually the last song. Like, this is how you knew that you were done. Go out, celebrate, have a great time. But that's your last song. That's when they would start to close down. So that's one of my memories. The other memory forever, Pete, that will stick with me is we had a few errors by the DJ at our wedding, and one of them is that he was supposed to play the song when we walked down the aisle after we said our vows and got married, but somehow just completely forgot. I think he started playing another song that we didn't ask him to play, and so he apparently was freelancing it, but yes, he was supposed to play that. Nobody knew it was a mistake, but we were kind of bummed because we thought it would be fun to have that as the exit theme, if you will. Wow.
That would be the one thing, if I had to look back at my wedding, the one thing that would have bothered me the most, DJ issues. And we were very lucky that we just gave the guy that we had a list, this is what we want.
I thought we did too.
But like, just let it be, and then it was fine, but... For people that had, I mean, I lost my mind.
I will give him credit for this, though. The one thing that had to go perfectly for me to believe that I got the wedding of my dreams. I mean, I knew there were going to be errors. You can't control other people. You can only control yourself, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the one thing that had to go perfectly, we rehearsed it, was the song that I walked down the aisle to. There was a musical interlude that you can recognize the song right away, and... There was a particular moment where they were pulling the curtains back and I was standing behind the curtains and it had to be perfect. Like, it was choreographed. I had picked this song more than 15 years ago. I knew that I had a vision for it. They executed it perfectly. So that went perfectly. That was the one element that had to go perfectly, and it did. And so I'm whatever. You forgot the song at the end, fine. I'm already married. At the beginning, when people are seeing me in my wedding dress for the first time, this is the moment that has to go perfectly. So I'll give him credit for that. The party was fun. We danced like crazy people for an hour and a half. It was awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Memories. What is the After Hours game of the week? There's no transition there whatsoever. But we've got our Thursday night game, which we're including in the poll. Generally doesn't happen. See, don't ever believe that we're stuck in a rut or we can't get out of the conventional, typical routine. Nah, we're creative around here. We are willing to take a leap of faith, but actually don't know the answer. What is the After Hours game of the week? I don't even want to vote because I don't want to know what the early returns are. I just know one of them is tonight, Pete. It's Commanders who need to start the way they did last week, but finish better than they did last week against the Steelers. And one of the challenges always with a running quarterback or a quarterback who has the ability to run, we're seeing it with Anthony Richardson. They wanted to be careful. Tua, of course, not that he's a running QB, but they don't want him to get hit. Caleb Williams, is he getting hit too much? So we've got a bunch of dudes in the NFL, young guys, energetic. Certainly they've got explosiveness and athleticism, but how do you balance not wanting your rookie to get hit a ton versus him being able to make plays with his legs? And so this is the challenge for Dan Quinn. How do you instruct Jaden when it comes to running?
I would say not circumstantial anymore, but there was less last week. And also tip our hat to Pittsburgh. I thought they did a really good job too. They've got a good defense, all three levels. And so I think that was a factor as well.
Yeah, definitely wanting to contain these guys so that they don't take off and run or find holes. And the Steelers' defense and special teams, they've been great until they got their quarterback situation all set. Steelers-Ravens is this week. Packers-Bears, that's generally one of the top matchups of the year. And, of course, the Bears desperately need a win and a spark for their offense. Chiefs and Bills, wowzers, how do you get away from that? So at Amy After Hours, I'll get it up on our Facebook page as soon as the show is done. Haven't had an opportunity yet. But another challenge for Dan Quinn and his Commanders is facing the Eagles with Saquon Barkley, right? So he's not seen them with Saquon. And Saquon, like the Derrick Henry piece for the Ravens, brings a whole nother weapon to that backfield. And we already knew that behind an offensive line, they're not quite as good as they were 2 years ago, but I like what I've seen from them. The running game right now is starting to lead the Eagles. And it's starting to become their, I would say their go-to, right? Their first option. Jalen Hurts has had 4 touchdowns. Is it back-to-back weeks now? He's had 4 touchdowns. The rushing touchdowns, remember the Super Bowl year? He set a record with rushing touchdowns. So this is becoming a major deal for them, again, like it was 2 years ago. And Dan Quinn, of course, he's had a front row seat even when he was with Dallas.
He can take somebody's leverage and try to work outside because he has the speed to go and then the ability to spin or to change leverage. And so that, to me, is a factor in itself, the ability to start and stop, you know, with that explosive nature that he has and try to break somebody's leverage. So the tackling, the angles, you want to make sure that point is really hammered home.
I know people point to the Eagles' schedule and who they've played and that it's not all that daunting. Now, it's going to get tougher, of course, in the NFC East, but they are second in the NFL right now in rushing yards. So they're averaging almost as many rushing yards as they are passing yards. You want to talk about balance, it's right there. 176 rushing yards per game, and Saquon Barkley, he only needs 9 more yards for 1,000, so that's likely to come tonight. And then they are top 5 in their defense in terms of points against. So that's the combination a couple of years ago that was really lethal for them was the run game that was hard to stop. Remember the tush push that became such a big deal a couple of years ago for the Eagles and the fact that their defense is tough and physical. So I'm looking forward to this one. Good test for the Commanders as well. Commanders Eagles, is that the After Hours Game of the Week poll is already live. All right, Pete, you ready? You ready to answer the question again? So yes. I'm going to ask you one more time. Good news or bad news first?
Bad news.
Okay, bad news first.
I got to stay with it. That's right. That's what I'm going with. I'm going bad news.
Bad news first. You got to call 911. You got to call fire, police, first responders, everyone, because there is a boa constrictor in your pickup truck. That's the bad news. Could you imagine? You're driving along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, he starts to constrict around your neck. What if he, like, wraps you around the headrest? Oh, no.
He's so setting the truck on fire.
Oh, man. Right? Exactly. Just leave the truck. We'll get a different truck. Fox 10 in Phoenix is reporting that a guy named Aaron, he was driving from Mesa to Scottsdale. So he's driving and was doing whatever it is that Aaron does. And all of a sudden, he parked and noticed a large snake sticking its head out from under his truck. So the snake was up underneath, like in the, whatever that would be, the, what's that called? The body of the truck? I don't know. I'm not a car person.
Undercarriage.
A carriage. There you go. Okay. He was there. He was in the undercarriage and he was sticking his head out. And Aaron said to the TV station, Fox 10, I thought it was a grocery bag or some sort of plastic. Oh. Maybe I ran over something. So I walked back over to the truck to see what it was totally shocked to see this big old snake looking down and looking right back at me.
No.
OMG. So that's your bad news. Pass. Did you say pass?
Yes, pass.
Like we get the option. No, thank you. I'll skip the boa constrictor in the truck today. So firefighters in Scottsdale, they made the call. And thankfully, they were able to get the photo. No. It's like sticking out. I mean, it's a gigantic snake.
See, that's where you want bears to walk around. Get a bear to walk around. You walk away and let them deal with the truck.
Here's what they did. They carefully removed the vehicle's undercarriage skid plate to access and remove the boa constrictor. And in case you're worried, the snake was not harmed and he was turned over to people who can help him and rehome him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!